Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
And I'm going to read just through verse 32. So I won't read the entire psalm, but Psalm 107, verses 1 through 32. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord and wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Would you pray with me, please, before we continue? Lord God, I thank You for, again, Your goodness to us in the day. Thank You for the provision You've made for us through Your church, through Your word, through the fellowship of Your people. Thank You, God, for the opportunity that's ours this evening to come and sing, to say, God, would You be our vision? Would You be our consuming desire? Would You help us to make You and see You as our treasure, our King? Thank You for the opportunity to ask for these things, oh God. Father, I pray for Your mercies in our hearts as we probably read through this psalm and even identify with some parts of it. In some part of our experience, in times past or present, of struggle and challenge, we desire and long to be thankful to You. We desire to be faithful. Oh God, we do pray that You would help us in those things. Now, Father, I pray for Grady and Julia and for their little baby. And we pray that You would have mercy, that You would give those who minister to this little baby boy much wisdom and skill as they care for him, and that You would be pleased to bring him to health and growth and years of serving You and trusting in You. And we pray that You would sustain Grady and Julia, that You would help them to trust You. And God, that You would surround them by Your care even now. And no, Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters here, for those in our family that are a apart from us, away, absent for one reason or another, Lord, give help and mercy and kindness, strengthen as we need that. And God, I thank you that you know intimately the place where we are and what's going on, and we ask that you would provide for us in the day and time of our need. We ask for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Psalm 107 is sometimes known as the Pilgrim's Psalm. Pilgrims as in those guys who came from England to the North American continent. And there's some interesting things that William Bradford wrote in the early days of their living here. And he quoted from this psalm and alluded to it often. And while obviously the psalm was not written for the pilgrims, I mean, I'm not trying to imply that. Certainly they walked through many difficulties and challenges and dangers and toils and snares and so forth. And there are things in here that seem to go along with much of what they experienced. And then also there's clearly, I think, a spiritual nature to these things that speak to our rescue spiritually from danger and toil and being without a king and a kingdom and those kinds of things, and the sickness of sin and all those kinds of things. And so as we're looking through the psalm, it gives us cause not only to remember the things that it's historically talking about, but it encourages us to find and be reminded of ways for which we can give thanks to God. It's indicated in William Bradford's writings on that they landed on Monday, and it makes you, when he quoted from this psalm in some of the things that he wrote that day, it makes you wonder if they had not looked into this psalm on the previous Lord's Day, and that in their worship some of their meditations might have been from this psalm. Its original setting is a praise of the people of God after they've been delivered from captivity in Babylon, and they've kind of been regathered from that captivity. So they're giving thanks to God for deliverance from that exile. And as you look kind of through the passage, there are several verses that call on men to give thanks to God. It begins that way in verse 1, saying, you know, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. In verse 15, let them thank the Lord again for his steadfast love and for his wondrous works to the children of men. Verse 21, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Repeats again in 22 and then 31. So there are these calls all the way through the passage that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. In the first three verses, there's kind of an introduction that seems to be just calling us to that, to have thankful hearts to the Lord. As we've read already, the second verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands. And again, that's clearly in its setting is reflecting the gathering of God of his people up from being spread out all over the place in this captivity. But it's also mindful that I've been rescued and redeemed and gathered to the Lord. It's a call upon my life that if I'm redeemed of the Lord, to say so. That if he's rescued me from that, that there ought to be praise and thanks on my lips as a result of that. It's a reminder to me, even as we looked and thought about some this morning, of the things that God has done in rescuing me out of my bondage that ought to call me to thankfulness. I have to confess that, and maybe you're like me, I get really driven sometimes by what's going on around me. And that is, this is an encouragement to my heart to let my thankfulness be driven not so much by my external circumstances and situations, even though I still long for those to be happier and better. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wicked about that. But it helps me to be more consistently thankful, to let my thankfulness be driven first, perhaps, by the fact that God's redeemed me. He's rescued me out of my bondage. And it's also instructive, I think, to remember Romans chapter 1 tells us that a mark of those who are apart from God is that they're unthankful. there's a particular ungodliness about being unthankful, about being ungrateful. And it may be something that we fight in America because we have so much sometimes that we tend to start expecting that. So let our thankfulness be driven by the fact that God's redeemed us and in response to this, and that we've been gathered to Him. The main body of the psalm then is in the verses that we read, 4 to 32. And it kind of falls into four little categories. And I want us to look across those for the next few minutes together in thinking about the ways that we can be thankful. And it just happens that we're coming towards Thanksgiving, so we'll have this little pilgrim theme running through that as we think about some of the things they endured and walked through. And verses 4 through 9 is the first section of this main body. And I've called it Homes for the Homeless. And you can see how maybe the pilgrims might have responded to these descriptions as they're talking about these wandering in desert waste and finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. The indication is that as these guys were trying to live out their faith, that there was a significant amount of persecution and that they were driven from their homes, and many of them escaped from England across the English Channel to Holland. And Bradford writes that even sometimes as they were trying to escape, they were hunted down and trapped and put into prison. They were taken out of their homes. They were always trying to escape those who were persecuting them. Most of them were constrained to leave their jobs because, you know, if you worked at a place every day, somebody could come and find you. So they left their ways of making a living, and all these things were being set aside, and they were kind of wanderers and pilgrims. And so you can see how they might have related to this. Now when I think about our situation, I don't know that we've had many folks who have much understanding about not having a home or a place to live. And there might have been some times in your past where you've struggled or wrestled with that or seeking for those kinds of things and looking for provision. But certainly to have that kind of provision ought to invoke in us a regular thankfulness to God, I guess, is the bottom line. And then boys and girls, children, young people, to be raised in a home where the gospel's being taught, where somebody's teaching you to love Christ and where they're reading the scriptures to you and calling you to these kinds of things is a cause for even greater thankfulness. It's a blessing and a mercy of God that you're being raised in a place where your parents are trying to point you to Christ. Now, that may sound a little bit self-serving as a dad, but at the same time, just talked with people even recently about teachers who have children in their care who are being raised by older brothers and sisters because their parents are in jail because they're drug addicts and so forth. And, you know, so there are all kinds of situations that sometimes I don't think we're even really aware of or cognizant of the difficulty in which some people are being raised. And so it causes us to give thanks, I think, for, as you understand, the privilege that God's given. But then even more deeply than that, I think you keep coming back to this reality that we were a people, apart from Christ, were a people without a home, without a kingdom, without a place of safety and provision and protection and care. And so God has rescued us out of a darkness and brought us into His home, as it were, and placed us in the kingdom of Christ. And Matthew Henry describes it in this way, as we were like those who were passing through the world like it was a dreary and dangerous wilderness, often ready to faint through troubles and fears and temptations, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And God brings us into His house and fills us with the goodness of all that He is and provides for us. And so it made me think about those Walton's Thanksgiving movies where some guy, poor guy, was always trying to wander home to the Waltons for Thanksgiving. And he was stuck in the snow and driving through the woods, and the little lights on the Model T barely lighting the way. And he had a flat tire, and the car rolled into a ditch, and he stumbles, you know, into the warmth of Olivia's kitchen at the end of the show, finally. Now, most of you probably never even seen the Waltons, so that makes absolutely no sense to you. But It was just this picture of coming out of the wilderness and into this warm kitchen where Thanksgiving dinner is being cooked and all the smells. You can even smell them on TV. That's how warm the Walton's house looked. And that's how good God is to draw us to Himself. Second thing in verses 10 to 16 is freedom for prisoners. Bradford's writing indicated that pilgrim leaders were often imprisoned. They would separate wives from their husbands and their children. They were dividing these people up. And then evidently these groups of folks were getting moved about from judge to judge to judge. And sometimes they were trying to figure out what to do with them. And Bradford writes that eventually they all did manage to get to Holland. And for that they gathered to give God much praise for His provision. And this passage mentions those who are in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. I don't know how many of you have ever visited somebody in prison before. I've been in two or three jails at visiting someone. And it was always an eerie feeling, honestly, to be inside there. Those clanking doors and the metal and stuff closing behind you as you go into a place where you're able to visit with someone. And it was always kind of just a joyful thing to come out. Just to get on the other side of the fence and the barbed wire and all that kind of stuff was a real kind of lighthearted feeling. And it was a pleasure to be out of that. Luke chapter 4 describes Jesus as fulfilling Isaiah 61, where he says that he's been anointed of God to come and to set free the prisoners. And that, again, is this picture of the provision of Christ in releasing us from the bondage. And struggle as we might in our flesh against sin, there is no hope apart from Christ. You know, there is only the provision that He makes for us releases us from the bondage of sin. And I hope that you can identify with that in some small or large ways. That as you have kept your face turned towards Christ, as you have kept pursuing Him, and as He has kept supplying you with strength and energy and help and grace, that you have seen sin overcome. And then ultimately the big picture there is that I hope there's a sense of that, that sense of walking out of that place and leaving that behind me, I hope there's that sense of guiltlessness before God. That your soul is free, and that you stand before God without condemnation because of Christ, because He's delivered you from prison. And I hope that song that we sing sometimes expresses an experience of your own heart. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed Thee. That's a great expression of the deliverance that God supplies for us in Christ. And I hope that that's your experience as well. Verses 17 to 22 expresses healing for the sick. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Now, I want to speak to those verses in more particular in a second, but again, with keeping the pilgrim theme, the four of their number, 102 of them set out 65 days across the North Atlantic. Four died during the trip. And then only 16 men and boys survived in the winter that followed. And just a few of the women, many of them perished. So even for those who remained, there was a lot of sickness. So you can again see how they might have identified with some of this that was going on. Now these verses sound like that these folks were suffering directly because of their sin. They were suffering afflictions that were directly connected to iniquities. And I'm not implying that the pilgrims suffered sickness and death and those things because of particular sin. And oftentimes there are sickness and difficulties and darkness that come into our lives. It's not a result of our sin. But in the sense that sin in general is in the world, that's why sickness and these kinds of things and afflictions are here. And I mean, in short, if there were no sin, there would be no sickness. We would be still in the garden state. And so the fallenness of the world is what produces these things. And we can look forward to, in the new heavens and the new earth, a freedom from all of this. Those things that are going to be provided for us would be an escape from this consequence of sin and the fallenness of our world. And I'm firmly convinced that every time I get sick and recover, that by whatever means, if I use medicine, if I lay in the bed and drink lots of liquids and drink airborne and take lots of Advil or whatever it is, the things that I use, the means and stuff, that God heals me. If I get better, that it's God's provision for me. And certainly He uses the means that He's provided for us as believers and followers of Christ by prayer and Bible reading and preaching and fellowship with others and so forth to help us so that we remember that every bit of spiritual health we have and every spiritual progress we make is a mercy of God. And so we can give thanks to Him for delivering us and moving us forward, and so that any progress we make is a provision of Him. He's the one who heals our souls. And that's why in the midst of days of darkness and days of struggle and rest, that we need to keep our faces turned towards Christ. That we have to remember that He is the physician of our souls. And it's Christ who is ultimately going to make these provisions for us, one way or another, and through lots of different means, lots of different ways, and that if we're going to make progress, it'll be in God's provision for us. And verses 23 to 32 is a one, I can hardly say this without hearing this, that Navy song. Maybe Kevin or Mike or somebody who's been in the Navy can sing that thing about safety for those at sea. Verses 23 to 32 speak to these who evidently are making their living upon the water. They're going down in ships and doing business, and there are torments and all kinds of things that happen to them there, and their only provision is in God's safety for them as He hushes the winds. Now again, this psalm wasn't written for the pilgrims, but it could have been. Who spent 65 days on the North Atlantic, and the provision that God made for them to get them across the North Atlantic through all the storms and the different things that they went through, you can see again why they would have been looking to Him and saying, we give thanks to God who has preserved us to this day, and we give thanks to Him for rescuing us from these things. I went fishing with some friends off the coast of Florida one time in the late afternoon, early evening. And we planned to be out there at dark and didn't see a big storm coming up. And we weren't like so far off the coast that you couldn't see land anymore or anything like that. But it was amazing how rough the water got and how kind of scary it was. And if we not had a GPS, we wouldn't be able to find our way back in. It was pitch black and the rain was falling. You couldn't see anything, couldn't see any markers and all that stuff. But the GPS kind of got us right back to the dock and everything was fine. And so we weren't in any real danger during any of that time, but I could sense how scary it would be to have been caught in that. And that's kind of what goes on sometimes in a lot of our lives, is we get caught in these blowings of doubt, difficulty, and hardship, and heartache, and fightings within and without, as they're described. And nothing, it seems, will really help us except a work of God. And then even as I mentioned this morning, it sometimes feels like God is so distant that we can't even find Him. I don't know why, when we read a psalm like this and we read phrases that say, they cried out to the Lord and He delivered them. I don't know why, when we cry out to the Lord, He doesn't deliver us immediately. I don't have an explanation for that. I don't know why in my own life sometimes there seems like extended periods of wrestling and waiting on God. And yet, I don't know what else to say except what I said to us this morning. And that's what the disciples said to Jesus. Where else will we go? Where, in the midst of all these things, are we going to find an adequate Redeemer? Are we going to find an adequate Savior? Or one who would can supply to us the forgiveness we need? Are we going to find one who will supply for us the strength we need? Are we going to find one apart from Him? And so all I know to do to tell my own heart and to encourage you with is to say that God help us to keep our faces turned towards Christ and to keep thanking Him for what He has done and to keep asking Him to help us and to strengthen us for days to come. May God give us help to reflect praise and thanksgiving to Him because He has been good and He is good and He will continue to be good in who and what He is. His character won't change. He will not forsake us. He will not forsake us. So maybe that's a pilgrim psalm for Thanksgiving time. Help you as you're going towards that. And hope that'll be some encouragements for your heart. And give you points to be thankful, for which to be thankful. Sometimes I just need to be reminded, oh yeah, that's cause for thanks and praise. So let's stop together and pray and ask God to help us to do just that. Oh God, I pray that You would grant to us a great strengthening of faith, that You would help us to believe You and to, in the midst of experiences that we have that sometimes reflect these very kinds of things, to cry out to You and to keep our faces fixed upon You and to continue to hope in You. And I pray that You'll help us also as a people who have been delivered, who have seen Your faithfulness and kindness and mercy in days gone by, who have experienced forgiveness of sin and what it means to stand guiltless before the God of the universe. Oh, Father, may that cause us to be thankful and to give You praise and to respond to You in love and hope and in trust. Father, albeit childlike, albeit simple faith, albeit sometimes faltering and looking like the candle that's about to be blown out by the great storm, oh God, would You, by Your Holy Spirit, pour the oil of Your help upon the flame? And would You bring life and hope to our hearts? Would You strengthen us as we see that there have been others who have gone before us who have struggled greatly and deeply? And God, as we share in their the fellowship of those things, God, encourage us. You have been faithful to them, and You'll be faithful to us as well. And so we cast our souls upon You and look to You for help in these days. And we look, oh God, with anticipation to all that You will accomplish through the challenges and opportunities that are before us in this coming week. And we pray that You would exalt Yourself. And we do pray that You will help us, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive.